May rise. Grace and peace to you all. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, that the people of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We consider our text, which comes from Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 27. Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea and Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" So they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke these words openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." This is God's word. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, dear fellow bearers of the cross. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Focused beyond. Therein lies the believer's life, his perspective, his whole existence and purpose in this world. In Hebrews 11 we read, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Focused beyond. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Let us leave Satan behind this morning as we begin to be focused beyond. As we firstly see the cross laid on our Savior, and secondly consider the cross laid on your own shoulders. We ask the Spirit to bless our study. How many times did Jesus remind his disciples of what was coming? What was in store for his earthly ministry? How many times did the prophets prophesy of this exact thing? Jesus was focused beyond. He battled Satan in our place, always looking beyond as he faced temptations. And it was Satan always trying to draw him away from his goal and ministry, and that was the cross that awaited him. Verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Notice the word "must." It could also be translated, "It was necessary." It's kind of ironic that in Greek the word is actually pronounced "die." It was necessary. He must. go to the cross. Jesus used this same word when he spoke in other occasions to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane when he drew his sword trying to defend his Lord from having to go on trial and be sentenced to death. He said, "How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Jesus on the road to Emmaus with his disciples at his side in his resurrected body still had to remind them of what this was all about, as he said, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" He said, "Was it not necessary?" Jesus knew full well what the prophets had written about him when they, in Psalm 16, for instance, when it says, "My flesh will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." He knew full well what was necessary. He was focused on the cross he had to bear, and he was focused beyond. He had to bear it for you. No man in this world has ever truly had to bear such a cross. No one has suffered in the way that our Lord suffered. Isaiah describes it as bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows, having our transgressions laid upon him. We suffer in this sin-cursed world, but Jesus suffered the curse beyond this world, the curse of death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that he was sorrowful unto death. He pleaded with his Father that this wretched cup would be passed on from him, and yet accepted his Father's will in this matter. Focused beyond. In verse 32, he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Jesus once called Satan the father of lies. He speaks from his own resources. He's always trying to deceive. Peter tells Jesus that this suffering and death was not necessary, that there was some other way. This was not for the one that he just confessed was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one sent to be our King. Satan was quite focused, but never on the things of God. As it says in verse 30, Jesus strictly warned his disciples not to tell anyone. This seems rather strange. Why wouldn't Jesus want everyone to know what was going to happen to him, who he was, what he was all about? He was focused beyond. He knew that with this word spreading among Israel, more and more he was going to have people trying to prevent him from going to the cross, wanting him to stay among them, continue his earthly ministry as a miracle worker. More and more Satan would use this to try to lead Jesus away from the cross that he had to bear. Consider the times we're confronted with a choice. There's a fork in the road, and on one path lies God's way, God's word. On the other path lies sins against God's word. The easy street. How many times do we choose the path that is easier? How many times do we at least want to? Our flesh would rest much more at ease if you would go down the easy street. If you would take something that was contrary to God's word and accept it. If you would let yourself erupt in anger at someone you're upset with. If you would just let that person you've wronged be ignored and let the bitterness continue to go on, that's easier. If you would just compromise God's word or be satisfied that there's just not enough time for Jesus in your life. Our flesh is focused on the things of men. Verse 36, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Yet it's because of all these sins, these times, we are mindful of the things of men, that Jesus accepted his cross. That the Son of Man must suffer many things, be killed, and in 3 days rise again. Jesus was focused not just on the cross, not just on the suffering and death. He was focused beyond the cross. What waited after the cross? We read in our gradual today from Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him, that joy was you that he was looking to. Your redemption. As he suffered, as he was rejected, as he went to the cross, he was looking beyond to see you forgiven of all your sins, bought back and perfected, and receiving an eternal home in heaven. He rejected Satan's easy street and was focused beyond for you. And so now Jesus can gather with us, rejoicing today, as I share with you the forgiveness of sins, as I share with you the cross, the redemption, as we share the sacrament today, as we share his word, all these things, Jesus is here with joy. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus was focused beyond. Well, now comes your cross. The cross that Jesus and God allow to be laid on your shoulders. The cross that Satan would use to have you choose a different way. Now enters the work of the gospel, which is now the nourishment, the strength for you to get through difficult times, to bear the cross that you have. Because Satan is coming to you. He is like Peter, pulling you aside, whispering in your ear, saying, not you. It's just not fair. Couldn't it be easier? God doesn't love you. Let us leave Satan behind as we rebuke him and we're focused beyond. As in Jesus' life, Satan does often use other people to try to get you distracted from the things of God. Subtle lures, subtle attractive messages and relieving thoughts planted in your heart to get you to forget about the things of God. Verse 34, when he had called the people to himself, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. As with Jesus, the tribulation that we face is necessary. We must suffer. It's part of living in a world cursed with sin, because if we didn't suffer, either number one, we're in heaven, or number two, we're no longer mindful of the things of God and we're happy with where we are in this world. And we don't desire a heavenly home. No, these things are necessary as we wrestle with sin, as we're made aware of it, as Satan's all around us. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our focus is that faith focus. Are you afraid of heights? Or maybe you remember that first time you were put on a bicycle and your parents let go. If you look down, you're bound to fall. You're bound not to see the obstacles in front of you. But if you keep your focus beyond, straight ahead, where Jesus is standing, that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you focused. To see the obstacles that Jesus then leads us around, over, under, and yes, sometimes right through. In our New Testament reading, we read from Romans 5, we glory in tribulation. Literally, we rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice! What rejoicing? What rejoicing is there for someone who's been struck by cancer? What rejoicing is there for someone who faces family problems or financial problems? How can someone who's being picked on in school every day or at home rejoice? Romans chapter 5 goes on to say that tribulation and suffering produce hope. If there were nothing bad in this world, what need would there be for hope? And our hope is not like the world hopes. It's not, I hope you get better, or I hope something bad doesn't happen to you. This is the hope of the gospel. It's more sure than anything the world has ever known. Romans goes on, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This is why you can rejoice. Because God saw you while you were yet lost and died for you. You are saved from wrath. You're delivered. You're declared righteous before God. These are the things of God that lead us to look beyond and see what awaits us. It's what leads us to deny ourselves, to detach ourselves from things that are going to disappoint you in this world, and attach yourself to things that never disappoint, that never let you down. The things of God, they're eternal. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Our glory is still hidden, just like Jesus's was. He came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and it was back to everyday life in this world. Our glory is hidden. We're like Simon of Cyrene from Africa, who stood by as Jesus was dragging his cross up the hill and was yanked out of the crowd. He was just there for the feast, and here he found himself step for step with his Savior climbing that hill. Maybe you've been pulled out of the crowd when you weren't expecting it. And yet you find yourself step for step alongside your Savior. And let me assure you that he's carrying the weight. He's carrying the weight of sin. His burden is easy, it is light, and he pulls us onward. Who do men say that I am? Jesus asked. The world says many different things about who Jesus is, but who do you say this Jesus is? And this is where the crosses we bear answer that question. We say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who bore the weight of our sins, who has borne our sorrows. Our gaze is beyond, and we are anything but ashamed of our Lord and Savior. We join with the holy angels. As Romans 1 says, in boasting, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed. Back to that initial passage that we started out with from Colossians. We read from Colossians chapter 3, If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We leave Satan behind as we gaze to that glory that awaits us. As we look beyond the things of the earth, fellow cross bearers, take heart, for that glory awaits you, and it is joyous. In Jesus' name, amen.